As an ice cream lover, vanilla is one of those flavors that's just always going to hit the spot. It's comforting and nostalgic, and it goes well with whatever mood I'm in. But sometimes vanilla can be a little boring, if you catch my drift. Sometimes I'm in the mood for chocolate or cookie dough or maybe something wacky, like pistachio if I'm feeling frisky. Whether it's a midnight snack or an afternoon delight, my friends at adamandeve.com can get you the right flavor for whatever mood you're in. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. But that's not all. When you select your one free item, you'll also get a free kit that includes an item for him, something special for her, and something we know you'll both enjoy. They offer discreet shipping as your privacy is a priority, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. Just enter offer code Abby, A-B-B-Y, at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby, code Abby.
Get it? The Burt Show.
They say you learn a lot about people when you travel with them.
Yes, you do.
And this year could make or break a friendship. Katie, you going on this road trip with a group of people that you've never traveled with before?
Yes, it's a group of people I've never traveled with before. And I don't want to use the word terrified.
But
I'm a little concerned.
We have concerns.
Yeah.
What are some of our concerns with this upcoming road trip?
Will this be a successful one? So when I go on trips, and I've also seen it recently going viral a lot, especially in the spring break time frame, where people are going on trips and they're finding out the truth about their friends, and they're either coming home without those same friends that they went to spring break with. And so with me going with this group for the first time, I have to let go of control, and I don't know how to do that. I'm the type of person where my friends don't want to go to escape rooms with me anymore because I take things a little too seriously.
Okay.
for example, an escape room, you're supposed to relax, have fun, just try to get out. And I was like, no, guys, we got to be focused. We got 10 minutes. And I'm more intense about certain things.
You're that person.
Yeah, I'm that. Well, I've learned. I don't want to do that in the future, but at that time. As well, I always tell people that I love to drive, and I just say it because I just like being on the road. But no, it's not I love to drive because I love to drive. It's I love to drive because I like to be in control, or think that I'm in control of my fate.
Gotcha.
And so in this situation, it's a road trip. It's not like we're flying out anywhere. It's a road trip. We're going to be together for days. I'm not the person driving. I have to let go and let them drive. I'm really getting anxious about that because it's going to be like a 6-hour drive.
Okay.
Then we're all going to be under the same roof together. And I've been around them for maybe like one night, but for days, you know, how is that going to work? All right. It's like a group of 7 of us in only 2.5 bathrooms.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Math is not math.
So let me get a visual here. So how many cars are you doing, like a little caravan if there's 7 people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have like 2 or 3 cars, everybody loading up. You're riding. You're going to be a navigator in somebody's car.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys like got an Airbnb or a VRBO or something like that?
Yep. We have an Airbnb.
Okay.
And this is going to be like for a week together.
An entire week.
A week?
Yeah, an entire week.
Where are you guys going?
We're going to North Carolina. We're going to a festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's activities. It's not like you guys are just going to be stuck in the cabin for a whole week.
No. Yeah, the whole plan is because we're going to a festival, but that festival is only probably 3 days out of that week we're going to be together.
Ah. So is there an itinerary if one person with 7 people is that tricky number because it's not too big, it's not too small. However, if 3 people want to do something and 4 of them don't, does that mean the 3 go off and do it? Or are you guys all supposed to do everything together the entire time?
And that's another thing I'm trying to figure out. With people driving like multiple cars, if a group splits off, we can probably take a lift somewhere and do our own thing, but there is no itinerary. It's like, let's just see what happens when we get to the city, a city that none of us have ever been in. And we're just like, oh, let's just go with the flow. But typically go with the flow. I don't think that's going to turn out how we imagine it to be. Sometimes spontaneous trips can be fun, but I'm worried about that not turning out how it's supposed to be.
Sometimes that's great. My husband and I have done a trip like that where we didn't plan a single thing and had the best time. And I've also had like full blown itineraries and had a great time. Well, at least I did. I don't know if he did, but we'll just take my word for it. I feel like because it's like spring break time, it's probably best to have a little bit of an itinerary and some reservations. Otherwise, you're going to be SOL because it's going to be so busy.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing I've been thinking about. But then how do I go about, hey guys, let's create a quick plan?
No, I wouldn't do that. If you guys don't have one, I would just have some stuff in your back pocket.
Yep. Oh. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
To whip out.
That's what I always do, because I'm like you, Katie. I'm very much like the controlling planning friend anytime we go on a trip, but I don't want people to think I'm controlling. So I'll always make like an open table reservation for, you know, a place I know where we're going to be. So that when we're walking by and people are like, oh, I'm really hungry, I'll be like, hey, we can go to this place. I'm pretty sure they have a lot of open seating. And if they don't, then I know we have a reservation for 6 p.m. and then we're good.
You're hilarious.
And then I look like the chill girl who doesn't need to have plans and can go with the flow, but really I've just manipulated everyone into going to the place I wanted to go to.
That's hilarious.
And you said you don't know any of these people?
I do, but it's just our first time taking a trip together.
Oh, okay.
And
so
I feel
you
like
know
that's
everybody.
A real, yeah, I know everyone.
Okay.
But that's a real test to me.
Oh, it is.
Of a friendship is when you actually go on a group, because hanging out with you for one day here and there, that's different. But multiple people under the same house trying to figure out what we're going to do. There's always already one chick who's like, hey, I got some family. We should go do, you know, a cookout at my family's house. My family's house is an hour away. They're like, we're not driving an hour away.
No.
You know, there's already little things like that where I'm just a little concerned about how it's going to go. And I know I can be more intense instead of just relaxing and going with the flow in situations like this.
Only five of y'all coming back still friends.
Yeah. This is the quickest way to cut your friend group in half.
I don't know which two it's going to be, but two of y'all not speaking to the group after this trip.
I hope that's not the case.
Get it? The Burt Show.
All right. Entertainment Buzz with Abby.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Sean Diddy Combs' properties have been raided by federal agents.
Properties.
So his L.A. and Miami homes were raided yesterday by Homeland Security investigation agents and law enforcement officers due to possible sex trafficking happening there.
That's a huge allegation.
Yeah, huge allegations. He's also facing multiple sexual assault allegations currently. Here is a report from ABC News while it was all going down.
Law enforcement sources are telling ABC News that right now authorities are carrying out searches at properties associated with P. Diddy. This is all part of a federal investigation into human trafficking. They also say that this investigation has been ongoing now for several months. They add that an arrest does not appear to be imminent at this time.
So he was actually spotted slowly walking back and forth outside of the Miami airport after this was all going down. The Post said that authorities wanted to target these homes because they wanted to grab his phones and computers to see if he was actually like running the ring.
Like I watch a lot of the first 48. So I'm practically a police officer and a detective. But in order for a raid of this magnitude, you have to have, like, and they said they've been working on this for months, you have to have some pretty good evidence already in order to go in with a warrant like that. At least I believe with a warrant like that to do a raid.
That's what concerns me.
Because I mean, they're not just going to raid anybody. Like, you have to have probable cause. You have to go through the proper channels. You have to, like, you have to get permission per se from the courts to go in and get yourself a warrant to do this. So it's making me wonder, like, what they have that prompted them to do this.
There's always been like where there's smoke, there's fire thing with Diddy, where you hear these allegations, you hear these rumors, you hear these stories, you have no idea what's true. But like you said, when it gets to the point where they are raiding his properties, not even just one, they clearly have enough to where they feel confident in going in there and they will find something. And I mean, even to arrest his children, have them outside, and I don't know.
Yeah, they were in handcuffs. Why were they
were
outside
in handcuffs? So apparently they were just being detained so that they can, you know, scope the house. But I don't know why you would have to put them in handcuffs to do that. So that was odd to me. And I wonder how it made Diddy feel to know that he was somewhere, because he appeared to maybe know that this was coming because he was out of Dodge. But you have to watch your children be in handcuffs on national television.
So do we know, was that at the Miami residence that the kids were in handcuffs, or the L.A.? Because he was in Miami at the airport because he was about to, like, get out of Dodge. I think he was going somewhere out of country.
That's a good question. I can't remember. I want to say Miami, but I'm not sure.
So even though we don't know, if it was Miami, dude, you can't leave your kids
you
there.
You can't do that. That's the part that I was like, you have to go back there and figure out what's going on once you see your children are in that situation. I mean, because obviously you put them there. You should, as a parent, want to go back and figure out what's going on.
I don't care if they're adults or not.
Yeah, period.
Well, also then it makes you wonder, are they a part of this whole sex trafficking ring that allegedly could be going down? You know what I mean? Like maybe they were resisting once like things got raided. And so that's why they were in handcuffs. So, I mean, maybe they're not totally innocent in this either. Maybe like Diddy's like really running this whole thing and has his family involved. And obviously like sex trafficking shouldn't happen, period. But what really makes me so mad of this whole thing is he's a bajillionaire. Why do you need to go out and make more money doing horrific illegal things like this? You know what I mean? Like, go sell more Ciroc. You're Diddy.
It's not about the money. This is a power thing. It's power. It's all like, this is reminiscent of Jeffrey Epstein. Because, you know, you just, you know, and again, these are all allegations right now. But somebody of that stature doing that, yeah, this has nothing to do with money. I think it has everything to do with power.
Yeah, and it wouldn't shock me if the women who have come forth with the sexual assault allegations have anything to do with this raid. Like, I wonder if that's really been some of the underlying things that have happened with all these allegations. Like, yes, maybe they're coming forward and saying Diddy did this to me, but maybe they're also giving the officers information about what's been actually going down in his house, and that's why this has all come out. So
I'm sure it helped.
Yeah, it's obviously really awful. I'm going to be fascinated watching this go down because if this all ends up being true, it's ridiculous. Some quick news about Euphoria. So season 3 has been delayed until 2025, but now it looks like it's going to be delayed indefinitely because now production is allowing some of their biggest stars to move on and work on other projects. Apparently, they're still working on a script. There's really no plans to start production. So by the time they even start filming Euphoria season 3, if it even happens, like, these kids are going to be like full on adults. Like, yeah, they can't be 30 and pretending to still be in high school. So
the movie Grease did it. It's fine.
All right. Mel B walked off the Today Show set. I'll tell you why she dipped on national television on your next E-Buzz on the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Our producer Rebecca is here in studio. Before we get to the five things you're going to share that you want people to know you should never, ever say to somebody going through cancer, because people have actually said these things to you. Before we get to that list, I just want to say thank you. You've been so open and vulnerable, and I think it's been eye-opening in so many ways for people who may not know somebody who has cancer or haven't experienced the journey themselves. And so I really just want to commend you and thank you for being so forthcoming with your journey with tongue cancer. And for those that may not know it, if you can briefly explain like how you got diagnosed and where what you went through and where you are now.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. That means a lot to me.
No, for sure.
Yeah, so in October of 2023, I had a sore on the side of my tongue that a dentist noticed and told me that I should probably go get checked out. I went to the doctor. They said it just looked like trauma. It didn't get better for a couple of months. She sent me back to an ENT. Everyone just thought it was trauma. Finally got a biopsy in later that year. And it came back and it said it was malignant. So I got set up with the amazing people at Emory Winship who helped me with surgery. And then post-surgery, I had radiation and chemo and kicked cancer's ass.
Yeah. Yes, you did. You finished treatment. You were kind of thanking your lucky stars because, you know, chemo and radiation going through it. Granted, chemo kind of wiped you out. But as far as like some of those side effects, you were feeling pretty good. But then as soon as you got that last radiation treatment, that was like when everything like really hit you.
My doctors told me that I was a unicorn because they told me that radiation was going to get really bad by week 2. And then it never got as bad as they said. And I always thought, okay, well, they're just trying to scare me. Or not trying to scare me. They want to tell me the worst case scenario just so I'm prepared. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what happened to me at the end. I thought I had 30 treatments. Turns out I had 33. Mm-hmm. The second I learned I had 33, every symptom they warned me about just came and hit me. Because it's really all about your attitude. If you are positive, I have learned, your health will stay just as good as your attitude. And once I learned that, I dropped like a stone.
Oh. Wow. But we're through that now.
Yes.
And here we are. And you have five things that people have actually verbalized and said to you out loud. Yes. And you just want to educate everybody and be like, hey, best if you just, you know, you can think it, don't say it.
Yeah, I've had a lot of really interesting interactions with people when I had cancer and after I had cancer. I gotta tell you guys this really fun one because I keep forgetting to tell you. But right before I got wheeled into surgery, a nurse recognized me while I was laying on the table. And over my unconscious body, the surgeons and the nurse watched the Instagram video where I talked about having tongue cancer and then just wheeled me in to have surgery. I just think that's so funny. A surgeon let me know that. But yeah, they're not always as fun as that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, here's five things that people have actually said to me that maybe they should have kept to themselves. And I hope if you're listening, you can kind of take this advice if anyone in your life is going through something similar. So the first person was someone from my high school who I guess was not really clued into my condition at the time. He logged into Instagram, saw a story that I had posted about having cancer. He replied to it and simply said, "Jesus."
What? That is ominous.
He just said, "Jesus."
Did he say something to you about what's going on? Like,
super helpful, dude.
Thanks so much.
Really supportive.
Like, there's this like love, because you don't want to have toxic positivity as well, because you can get those people that are like, "It's good, everything's gonna be fine." And sometimes you need to sit in the ick.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for a random person from high school just to hit you up and be like, dude, yeah, no, I know it's bad. Like, I don't need you telling me that this is bad.
Yeah, it's fine. It's cool. Okay, the second thing happened to me when I was getting popcorn at a movie theater. A cashier looked at me and said, "What happened to you?"
Okay. Wow. Can you just put extra butter on there for me, please?
Yeah. So if you don't know, this treatment gave me a lot of scars. I have a really big wrist scar. My tongue obviously looks a little different. I have a neck dissection scar. I have a trach scar that basically looks like a belly button on my neck. So I'm like, you got to be a little more specific than that. You know,
what hasn't happened to me at this
point? Exactly. And if you ask politely, I've had people ask politely, and I'll definitely tell you, just don't say, "What happened to you?"
Okay. They're two for two. All right. What you got next?
All right. Here's one that actually really bothered me. A lot of people think that they're giving good advice and it's the opposite. So last week I talked on air about what I should do with my radiation mask now that I'm done with treatment. And I was looking for suggestions. A lady commented on the Facebook video that we posted and she said, "Don't throw it away. What if you need it again?"
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even
know what to say to that.
I want to think, like, her intent is, like, she's trying to, like, save you money. But, like, obviously, that was such a stupid thing to say.
Yeah. I mean,
because you're not going to need it again.
Ever.
Because when you get your scans in a couple of weeks, you're going to come back and you're going to be like, "Y'all, I'm in complete remission." What?
Exactly. I mean, no offense to this lady. She wasn't the brightest. She also followed up with saying, "What if it's still dangerous? Is it still radiating?"
Okay. That tells you all you need to know.
That answered our question right there.
There it is.
That made me feel better.
Yeah.
So the next one, I went to PT for my wrist. I have a very large scar on my wrist. It kind of looks like I've got a big rectangle of salami just like right below my hands.
Mm.
The physical therapist rolled down my splint that I was wearing at the time and said, "Well, I guess a plastic surgeon didn't do that."
What? PT said that?
A professional.
Wow.
If we can put things in the toxic positivity category, I feel like this is like toxic honesty.
Yeah.
Just some things don't need to be said.
I know.
Period. Oh,
God. And I was like, I don't need to hear about reconstructive surgery. Just give me some flexibility tips. That's what I'm really here for. Okay, the last one came from a very close friend. If you don't know this, treatment made me lose a significant amount of weight, which you wouldn't know because I have lymphedema the size of like a tire around my neck, and that's how it feels. But my friend said to me, "You know, I need to lose a few pounds. Maybe I should get tongue cancer.
She did not.
All right.
No, they did not.
That's what I'm on.
Okay. Yeah. Just get on a Ozempic like the rest of Hollywood.
All right.
We thank you for the education, Rebecca.
And I'm sorry.
Yes. And we will just apologize on everybody's behalf for their for their stupidity. But you are, I think you're like your mentality, your attitude, you've handled this like a true champ. And
it's inspiring.
It is. Oh, we're counting down the days to those scans, and we can't wait for you to come in here and let us know that you're in complete remission.
Thanks, guys.
And we can't wait for you to destroy that radiation mask.
Yeah.
Big facts.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I don't know where the darkness comes from. Maybe it's because I'm a mom now. I don't know if that's that. You may want to add that to your list, Abby. Or maybe that's a plus.
But I'm already dark, and I don't have children. Oh. I have all the dark humor without the responsibility.
So this year, we are doing a bracketed tournament because it is that time of year. And normally, we do baby madness and have these cute, adorable babies. But this year, we decided to do a little twist on our bracket, and we have a busted baby bracket. So we are now in the Uggo 8. Today is your last day to vote to see who will advance to the Fugly 4, okay? So you got to get your votes in today. You go to theburkshow.com. You will see the bracket. You check them out. My baby is still in it. My little sweet melted gummy bear is still cruising along. I think it's baby number 29.
Yep.
My baby's still riding too. Baby number 6. I got all the faith in the world. number 6.
Yeah, with your conehead baby. So head to theburkshow.com and make your vote count, and then we will reveal tomorrow who made it into the Fugly 4. All right, so she wants to stop treating her husband like crap, and she needs our help. I feel like that is kind of a odd ask.
Is this Free Therapy Thursday?
I feel like this is kind of obvious. Like, if you want to stop treating your husband like crap,
stop.
I don't know. That's it.
End of bit. Yep. Next one.
Done. So she apparently, there was an incident at a pickleball tournament.
Oh, that's what always go down.
And she feels really bad about it. And Mo has the email.
Hi, Burt Show. Not sure if you can offer any advice or if you have one of your experts on speed dial.
Nope.
But
you're stuck with us, minus Bert, minus Cassie. Godspeed.
Good luck to you.
Unmarried, Mo, unmarried, Kristen, married to Bart.
And I piss him off every day. I annoy the crap out of my husband. So, yeah, you're best of luck.
Well, unfortunately, she still needs some help.
Okay.
To give some background, the woman in my family have a long history of treating the men in their lives like garbage.
That's unfortunate.
Wow. Since childhood, I've witnessed my aunts and mother talk down to my uncles and my dad and treat them like they are stupid. Sometimes they can even cause a scene in public.
Have you ever been out in public when you see somebody talk down to their significant other? It is so uncomfortable.
It's very awkward.
Oh, no, I love it. I love seeing couples fight. Oh, it's so fun.
It makes you happy about being single.
I'll be ordering extra appetizers. I'll be like, bring on the burrata. We got a show now.
Oh, man. I will never forget like watching Kate Plus 8 back in the day. I used to love that show, right? With Kate Gosselin and John Gosselin. And the way that she would speak to him in public was just so demeaning. And it's like major ick. Hated it.
I hate to see it.
I forgot how big that show was. Tell me why at the age of 11 I was invested in their divorce.
I have no idea.
The worst part is that it is usually about trivial things not being done the way they would have them done. I have never understood why most of them put up with it and promised myself that I would never be like that. But here we are. I've been with my husband for 20 years, and we have recently started playing pickleball. We were in the tournament, and he made several really silly mistakes while I was playing great. I actually belittled him in front of several people over pickleball. The worst part is that we won the tournament and are barely speaking. Like, that's a problem. How did y'all win and y'all still mad at each other? I feel sick and embarrassed about the way I treated him. I don't want to make excuses for my behavior, but it was as if I was seeing red and lost control of my reactions. It's like my filter just shut down and every terrible thought just comes flying out. If I reversed the situation, he had talked to me like that, I probably would have packed my bags. Have you ever looked in the mirror and just not liked the person looking back at you? That is where I'm at right now and need to know what I can do to break the cycle and do better. Thanks.
All right, this is going to be like a broken record. So if you're trying to break the cycle, you're going to need a good therapist to help you do that. What I want to commend you for is that you're self-aware. Like, you know that this is learned behavior. You're self-aware. You saw your aunts do it. You saw your mom do it. And you saw how that affected the men in their life. So, of course, you don't want to do that to your husband and you don't want to make your husband feel that way. And the fact that you actually feel remorse for your actions, right? You did this and you generally feel bad. So I think you go to him and you sit down, you have an adult conversation, something our listeners love, hate to do. You have an adult conversation, you sincerely apologize, but be like, I don't expect you to accept this apology. I can only hope that you accept my change of behavior, because an apology means absolutely nothing if you don't change the behavior. And the way that you can show him your change in the behavior is by going to therapy, because you got to unlearn whatever was you witnessed and was ingrained in you as a child, because you're an adult and you know better. Like, and that's one of these things where it's like, it's not fair that you were subjected to that, but it's now you were, and that is, and so is life. And so now it's up to you to fix those synapses in your head so you don't lash out at your husband like that again, because he doesn't deserve that.
I completely agree. I think you do deserve kudos for accountability and self-awareness, for sure. That's the first step, is fixing any problem. And maybe you can do some type of awareness check. Like my grandmother's idea is always to wear a rubber band. And whenever you start doing the thing that you were trying to change, pop yourself so that you can, in that moment, realize this is exactly what I need to be working on.
And make sure rubber's not too tight.
Yeah. It's no... Without context, are we just leaving that there?
Yes, we are.
That's okay.
If you missed that, when Mo told it the first time, you need to go to the Burt Show podcast and find it, because it was freaking hilarious.
It was. But maybe that'll help you in those moments realize that that's exactly what you're working on, because you're the only person who can truly work on that. Now, I do give her a little bit of leniency because it was a sport and I'm pretty competitive. I understand the competitiveness that can come out in those situations.
This ain't Travis Kelce on the sideline with his coach. You know what I mean? Y'all playing in a pickleball
tournament. This wasn't the pickleball Super Bowl?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, we got to give you some kudos for wanting to be better, because to me, the sign of a very healthy relationship is two people coming together, putting in equal efforts to be better for each other. So I think the fact that you're already showing growth in this area is huge. What I'm a little concerned about is that you're saying that this behavior is coming out over pickleball. I play pickleball. It could not be more relaxing. It's basically big, giant ping pong. So I'm a little concerned that if you're getting this heated over the most relaxing sport I've ever played, what else is coming out? So I'm glad that you're being self-aware so you can start making some changes.
The Burt Show.
All right. We're going to start doing some bless your heart moments here. If you are unfamiliar with bless your heart moments, these are something where, like, you're just, I don't want to say you're ignorant. I don't want to say you're stupid. You just had a little bit of a brain fart, a little lapse in judgment. So if you would like to share a recent bless your heart moment, which I'm about to do, and it's going to be highly embarrassing, but whatever. 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. So for instance, had to get together at my house this past weekend for a friend's birthday. And she brought a close friend of hers. And it turns out she and this myself and this other friend are birthday twins. We were born on the same day, same year, couple hours apart, right? And so we're sitting there talking. And I'm like, yeah, I can't believe I'm going to be 44. Wow, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah. And she goes, wait, I've been telling people I'm 44 all year. And I'm like, you have? That's so silly. Because we're gonna be 44. And she's like, yeah, no, we're going to be 45. And I'm like, the hell we are. I'm like, absolutely not. Yeah, no, I for some reason thought.
You wouldn't accept it.
I was turning 44 this year. And guess what? No, I'm turning 45 this year.
She just ruined your year. She didn't have to do that.
I lost a year of my life in literally like 2 seconds. And I was so convincing. I almost had her convinced that she was wrong. And I'm like, no, we were born in 79. We're turning. And then she's like, yeah, no, it's. So,
I've forgotten my age before in conversation and gave the wrong age and left it. Yeah. I didn't even go back and correct it.
What's the point?
I stayed that young.
Is there an age where you stop keeping track? Like for me, I'm turning 27 next month, but I'm very hyper aware that I'm turning 27.
Once you get into like your mid-30s.
Yeah. Yeah. You stop counting.
Okay. Because you just kind of give up.
It's all downhill from there.
Exactly.
All right, Tommy, you got some bless your heart moments?
Yeah. I have an addiction and it's called TikTok. Mm-hmm. I will spend hours upon hours on TikTok. And I came across this couple. And she calls herself @Miss_Snowwolf@JKU on TikTok. And they have like 1.5 million followers. And it's this husband that films his wife in the passenger seat of her car. And it usually involves some sort of riddle or a question. And it ends up with a bless your heart moment from her every single time. Here's an example.
Your mom has four kids. North, south, east. What's the name of the fourth kid?
West.
West?
Yes.
Your mom has four kids.
Abby, are you thinking about
North,
this?
South, east, what?
West.
It's not west. That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, why would she have three kids named north, south, and east and not have a fourth one named west?
Abby, do you know the answer yet?
No. That doesn't make any sense.
Bless your heart.
How?
Because they're like a group. You don't just throw three things out there and not use the fourth.
Really?
Pause Abby, it. Pause
you,
it.
You
Abby,
still don't know
are
the
you
answer?
The fourth kid? Is that
yes!
the answer?
Yeah, that's the answer.
Because it's your mom. Your mom has four kids, north, south, east, and then it has to be... So you have to say your own name.
Yes. Exactly.
But that's so dumb. But I don't have siblings.
Why didn't you get it right off the bat?
Well, because, it's so easy. Because I don't have three siblings. I have one sibling. His name is Ben.
All right, here's one more. This is a bit of a little spelling challenge that he gave his wife.
Spell river.
R-I-V-E-R.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good job. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
This might be really complicated for you.
Okay.
Put a D in front of it. What does it spell?
It doesn't spell anything. It's not a word.
What? You put a D in front of river? That's not a word?
No, I mean, technically, I guess if you put a D in front of river, it would be driver. And that's definitely not a word.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
You're not joking?
I'm not joking. Driver is not a word.
Do you have anything in your head?
Do you have a brain? You're asking me to put D in front of river. Driver is not a word.
Are you 100% positive?
Like, yes.
Really?
What?
Put a D in front of river.
I did. Driver.
Really? How do you spell driver?
D-R-I-V-E-R.
This is the English language fault. Bless your heart.
She was driving as this was happening, too, wasn't it?
I don't see a name, but welcome to the Burt Show. You got a bless your heart moment?
I do.
Go for it.
Okay, so when I was like six, my dad told me they drained the lakes with bathroom plugs, like in the tub. And so I was 17, I believed them.
So you were 17, you thought they drained lakes with a bath plug?
Yes, my brother said as a joke, and I was like going along with it. And they were like, wow, Haley, like you just went along with a joke. And I was like, no, that's really how they do it.
Haley, you should see the hair they pull out of those lake drains. It's nasty.
All right, and last one here. Joelle, welcome to the Burt Show. What is your bless your heart moment?
Good morning. I used to work for a major grocery store chain, and do you guys know those Calypso cauliflowers, the ones that are orange and purple?
Uh-huh.
I had a customer come up and say, oh, my God, when did you guys start selling them with cheese on it?
The Burt Show.
All right, intern Messiah joins us in studio, and you're wondering, can I ever escape my mistakes, or will they just literally haunt me for the rest of my days? Yes. As somebody that has been diagnosed with general anxiety disorder, and I take medication every day, they will follow you until you die. No, I'm just kidding.
And they always will hit at 9:30 p.m. right as your head hits the pillow, right?
And you'll sit there and you'll go through every single mistake you've ever made in life. No, nah, I'm kind of kidding, you know, just a little
bit. I'm not.
All right, so what's going on that you feel like you're being haunted by past mistakes?
Yes, so I received a text message from an old friend the other day, and I would like to describe myself in high school and like earlier college years as like a wild card out of an Uno deck. I was like the wild friend that would kind of just be willing to do anything, whether it was getting in a fight at a bar or stealing my mom's car or going to the clubs at like 18.
Mm-hmm. This is not wild card behavior. This is unhinged.
No, it's not.
Stealing your mom's car, getting into a fight at a bar, I mean, is not wild card.
I borrowed her car because I brought it back.
That makes sense.
So essentially, I received a text message the other day from an old friend that I haven't seen in a while. And mind you, I've reshaped my life for like the past 2 years, I would say.
You grew up, man. You matured.
For sure.
Rebranding, if you will.
Yes. the rebranding. Yes. Good way to put it.
You got a new logo?
New marketing team? Yeah.
Something like that. And so I received a text from an old friend, someone that I don't talk to anymore. And they asked me if I knew someone that had something. Can't necessarily say it on air. But when I was reading the text message, I think I was really disgusted by it. And a part of me is, why would I feel disgusted if that was owed me, mm-hmm. you know? But I think I was disgusted because now past me is not present me per se. And I've worked so hard on being this individual. So I felt kind of like my identity was played with in a sense just by that question that they texted me.
It took you back a couple steps.
It definitely did.
Okay.
You felt the way that what they wanted, you were the first person that they thought would have it?
Yes. And the crazy thing about it is I know that they know mutuals that still portray that lifestyle in a sense. So why was Messiah the first person to come to? Was that I guess I was questioning the perception that people have onto me because that's not what I project out to the world now.
Gotcha. That's not how you want people to perceive you now because yes. that's not who you are now.
It's not.
It's totally understandable that like yourself took a little bit of a hit getting that. But again, you have to remember this is somebody that doesn't know the you now.
True.
So we cannot change our past. We can only learn from it. And Did it make you like, were you almost kind of embarrassed that that's like who you were back in the day?
Yes, it did make me embarrassed, but I'm currently reading this book called The Four Agreements. I'm not necessarily sure.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, who that's the author is. But one of the agreements is don't take things personal.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that even though that question in a sense disgusted me and made me embarrassed, like Mo said, I know that that's not a reflection of who I am. That's a reflection of who they are and the things that they engage in. So
exactly. You know, and I see, look, the book, the fact that you're, how old are you?
22.
And you're reading The Four Agreements?
I'm almost done.
You are so ahead of the game.
I read mine like 2 years ago.
I haven't even read it.
It's a really good read.
No, I think like, obviously, your feelings are valid. I never want to like take away like the validity of somebody's feelings. You can feel it, but you don't just don't stay there. Like that's who you were. That's not who you are now. That's who that person still is. And that is fine by them. And just, you know, course correct them. So did you say, hey, I don't do that stuff anymore?
Yes, for sure. I kind of made it I stood firm in it. But like I said, reading the book, I didn't want to project it as an insecurity. I know that person doesn't understand the depths of my struggles, the depths of how far I came and the depths of like my heart and who I am as an individual now. And it's taught me to be more intentional with my actions moving forward.
Yeah, no, see, I think you have the perfect outlook. I really don't think there's anything that we can say that is going to help you be in a better place than you already are.
Yeah, well, I think if anything, this whole situation has affirmed that who you are now is who you're meant to be. Because I think sometimes when we make big changes and we take a lot of big steps in becoming a better version of who we used to be, sometimes it can be easy to be like, well, was my life really that bad when I was doing it? I kind of want to like dabble in that again. Yeah. I think if anything, this has affirmed that the steps that you've made have been actually really good for you and that you don't ever need to go back to that at any point.
And I've learned in life that you got to become, I don't want to say comfortable with, but realize that people are not going to always let you grow. Mm-hmm. They keep you where they remember you being, and they don't add in all of the evolution in the years that, you know, you could have become a completely different individual. But like Kristen said, that's because they don't know the new you. They have no idea what your growth has been through the struggles that you've had. So don't take it personal. I think that reflection on it is as great as you can be.
Like, stand firm in who you are today, and anybody who knew you in the past that still has that view, that's when you have to, as you get older, it gets easier. Like, if that's what they want to think, then that's fine. You don't feel the need to correct everybody and to be like, no, that's not who I am. This is who I am. You knowing who you are should be enough.
And that could be your fifth agreement.
Yeah.
True. Yes. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, if you liked what you just heard, give us 5 stars. If you didn't, Mama always said, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
All right, entertainment buzz.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Spice Girl Mel B got a little spicy on the Today Show because she walked off the set. So she was on the Today Show and she was talking with Hoda Kotb and Jenna Bush Hager.
Man, they've been just running into some issues lately with some guests they've had.
Oh yeah, they've had some horrible luck. Like, what was it? Kelly Rowland, who stormed off set because she didn't like her dressing room, allegedly. Yeah. We still never got confirmation on that, which, where are the interns? Why aren't the interns spilling the tea? They must have signed like an ironclad NDA. So they're getting the tea from Mel B about the possibility of a Spice Girls reunion. And Mel was like, I want to say stuff, but I get in trouble for being a little bit of a blabbermouth.
There's a lot of rumors. Yes. There's little Easter eggs everywhere. Yes. It's time for you just to break the news.
Yeah. Well, I can't because I always get told off because I'm the blabbermouth. Well, you know, I think I said this to you before, us five are working on something.
So then they keep pressing. They're like, okay, what do you mean by something? We're getting an NSYNC reunion, maybe. Are we possibly going to get a Spice Girls reunion? And that's when she ran off the set.
Are we going to be satisfied?
Very.
Because we saw that NSYNC got back together.
Like there's something happening.
I love NSYNC, but yeah, no. This is going to be really good. And the fans are going to be like really happy about
really
it.
On
Can
fire.
We go see you on tour?
You're going to be able to.
I'm not saying anything. Okay, bye. Oh.
So it wasn't a storming off the set. It was like all in good fun walking off set.
It was a fun giggly runoff. But yeah, I always feel like it takes just that one group member to get things going, like with Justin Timberlake and NSYNC getting the reunion back together. I feel like Posh Spice is finally in a place where she's desperate enough to do a reunion. Like, once you start seeing them in commercials, like Posh Spice in those Uber Eats commercials, you know that they're looking for a check. And I feel like she's ready to cash in with the Spice Girls.
I feel like nostalgia is very in right now.
I'm so over it. I'm sick of being nostalgic.
Yo, Gen Z, let Gen X have this, okay? Thank you.
Okay, you guys can have that. You guys don't have it. Since you guys have less time on this earth, I'll let you guys enjoy it.
Thank you.
Death is impending. Let me have a little Spice Girl reunion action.
All right, Seth Meyers is talking about this rumor about who's going to be taking over SNL once Lorne Michaels is over it. So he said that a lot of rumors have been going around that maybe Tina Fey was going to take it over, but Seth was actually asked about maybe him also taking over, and he said there's literally no way. Lorne is never going to give up SNL.
I really don't. I think this is a false narrative that Lorne is going anywhere. I think that, look, 9 years or the 40th, I think it made sense for Lauren, who's got a flair for the dramatic, to say, I think I'll be done at 50.
Yeah.
But now it's not like Lauren's got something else. He wants to do more than this.
So you think it's Keenan?
I think it's Keenan.
I just feel like when anybody is that good at their job, mm-hmm. when you've created something as legendary as SNL, how do you give it up? Like, how do you move on after creating something so big and pass it over to somebody else? Like, I personally couldn't give up that kind of control.
Yeah, so Bert's out today because he's feeling under the weather, but I'll let you know right now. He talks about retiring. That mofo ain't ever retiring.
I was going to say something because I'm like, he talks about it all the time. And I'm like, there is literally no way.
No way.
When you're that good and when you've created something as epic as the Bert Show, how do you just walk away from being Bert Show Bert?
Yeah, he loves his vacations too much.
Yeah. When is enough, right? Like, when is it? Have you fulfilled to where you can truly say I did everything I could and I'm done?
Exactly.
I don't know if that ever happens for most of us.
Okay, my worst nightmare has happened to me during eBuzz. Google has tried to sign me out of my account. So I'm trying to read my next story, but I might have to omit a few details because there's a big signed out sign that's blocked it.
But you're fine.
Anyway, the Titanic door that saved Kate Winslet's character in Titanic
has killed Jack.
Mm-hmm. Has sold for over $700,000 at an auction.
I want to know the person who bought this.
Me too.
And what are you going to do with this?
That's my question. What happens with it now?
For me, I'm putting it in a pool. And I'm getting me and my best guy friend. And we are going to do the ergonomics of trying to figure out how Jack could have also been saved at the end of this movie, which James Cameron, of course, has been asked about 1,000 times. I'm sure he's sick of talking about whether or not Jack. He's like, I wrote it a certain way so that, spoiler alert, Jack would pass away in the end. He said, he probably could have fit on that door, but it was very aligned with his character to be protective of Rose, to make sure that she was going to get out alive. So that door could have been 10 feet wide and he probably still would have stayed in the water to make sure homegirl was going to get out.
She would have moved over for me. We gonna both balance this door out.
So I'm just curious. You go to somebody's house. Obviously, they're well off. It's they're affluent, and they're like, "Oh, I got to show you this. I just acquired the door from Titanic." How do you react to that? Are you like impressed by that? Or are you talking about them on the drive home? Like, who spends that kind of money on a door?
I'm asking where that money came from.
I'm doing both.
All right. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
You're on the Burt Show.
So yeah, he was thrown for a loop when his girlfriend came to him and was like, "Hey, let's spice things up. Let's add some people to the bedroom. I have some names." And he's like, "No." And she's like, "Okay, that's fine. I'll just go on vacation with her." And he was like, "What? No. Excuse me." All right, so give us a little more detail, Mo.
So in the first few months of their relationship, he caught his girlfriend emotionally cheating. But he did forgive her, and they moved past it. And she suggested that they play piano with her best friend. And he wasn't on board, so obviously just the ask of that could have been offensive. Even though it was hypothetical, and immediately we called this a major red flag and told him that he should be concerned with the fact that she even asked this. So that led him to have some insecurity issues, and she had an upcoming solo trip planned that he was very worried about, wasn't sure if she was going to hook up with other people, if she got the chance. And the last that we heard, he planned on confronting her before the trip to help his insecurity. So what happened before that trip?
So if I remember back, like, I don't blame him for being like paranoid. If my husband comes to me and says, "Hey, let's spice things up in the bedroom, let's add a third," and he's not even pulling a name out of a hat. He's saying, "Hey, let's get this friend to join us." And I'm like, "No, thanks, but no thanks." And he's like, "Okay, that's cool. Well, I'm going to go have like a weekend getaway with this person." In my head, I'm like, "Well, that's the name you brought up, and that's the name you wanted to bring into the bedroom. Then what makes me think you're going to be loyal and faithful when you're on a trip when you've already thought about them in that capacity?"
I feel like that entire trip, that would be in the back of my mind. I wouldn't be able to do anything else but wonder if you actually out there cheating on me with this person that you brought up specifically.
I mean, I know you're a catastrophizer. There's no way this would fly with you.
Oh, yeah. And I'm an avoidant attachment style, so I'm running. Like, you bring this up to me, and I'm out of the relationship. You can't cover up the fact that you're attracted to someone with the fact that they're your quote-unquote best friend. Just because they're your bestie, if you want to sleep with them, you don't get to go on vacation alone with them.
All right, so here is the update. "Hi, all. Thanks for reading my email. I appreciate your feedback. You all were right about her being a red flag, but I didn't know how big of a red flag this was until I tried to confront her. A few days before our talk, I found her secretly talking to another man on Snapchat. When I questioned her about the guy, she swore he was just a friend."
Reminds me of Biz Markie.
"Oh, baby, you got wanna me. But you say he's just a friend.
You say he's just a friend.
Okay, now we gotta focus."
There was no way we were gonna keep on doing that without getting it out of my system.
I was there for it.
Okay, all right. So, if he's such a friend, why would she have to hide it from me? Our argument then escalated when I told her about my concerns about her spending the weekend with her quote unquote friend she casually wants to hook up with. She tried to reassure me that she wasn't going to do anything without my permission. She went on to say that when she's drinking, she likes to explore with women. I told her if she likes to explore so much, she shouldn't expect me to stand by her side. She stormed out of our apartment, and we haven't spoke since. I'm crushed because this is a woman I wanted to build a future with, and now everything is ruined. Anyway, thanks for all the advice you gave a former boyfriend, Josh."
Aw, Josh.
That's sad. This would be one of those moments for me where I know I would have to go through the sadness of it, but I would be happy that it happened sooner than later, because that's just too much quote-unquote friendliness for me. And are you ever going to be able to feel secure in this relationship knowing that she's moving this way?
And he has every right not to, especially since he busted her on Snapchat with another dude.
Yeah, I don't understand why people are so adamant about being in relationships when they want to explore. Like, this isn't the 19th century. Like, you are allowed to not be in a relationship. So I'm speaking specifically to her, that she seems like she's throwing this big hissy fit of like, "What do you mean I can't sleep with other people?" Okay, well, then why do you want to be in a relationship with Josh? Mm-hmm. Josh clearly wants something different than you. He wants monogamy, and he thought that you were going to be the one to give it to him. So Josh, I really feel for you here, because I know this is incredibly disappointing, but I think you got to let this girl go, because she clearly wants something different out of life than you do.
Yeah, I can imagine
I couldn't imagine how frustrating, because we have taken plenty of calls on this show. There's plenty of people in the lifestyle doing different things within their relationship, whether it be multiples, and whatever works for you works for you. But the idea of like Josh being in what you think is a committed monogamous relationship, and then you're basically blindsided by your partner saying, hey, I want to introduce other people. And I feel at that very moment, and if you're like, no, that's not my bag, that's not what I want to do, there's always going to be a little bit of resentment on the other person's side, and that is not something that they're just going to be able to squash and like lock in a box and not think about again.
If you want to move like that, there's nothing wrong with it. I just think it's something that you should bring up in a relationship as quickly as possible, as soon as you can, because to spring this on somebody midway through the relationship is wrong.
Yeah, it's not fair to Josh. So I'm sorry, Josh. I know you wanted to be with her forever, but I think you dodged a bullet.
The Burt Show.
Gentlemen of the Burt Show, we are going to describe your personalities in one question. Abby found this audio on TikTok, and we asked you one question, and that question was, who is your favorite superhero? And this one TikToker is going to break down your personality based on the superhero you love the most.
Yeah, this is from Alyssa Yago on TikTok, and she is shaking people up because apparently this can tell you more than your astrological sign.
I don't believe it.
Depending on what superhero you like, she can stereotype you to a T.
All right. So you guys have submitted your superheroes. Mo, who is your favorite superhero?
Batman.
All right. So according to Alyssa, this is your personality.
If your favorite superhero is Batman, I feel like as a kid, you went through a lot of hardships, whether that was being bullied, being hard on yourself. I don't know what it was, but you're working on yourself now, but you still don't know who you are. You feel the sense of longing, sadness.
She got you.
It was generic, but it's interesting.
Reading my astrological readings, generic, but okay.
I think they go a little deeper with astrology, but I mean, a lot of us have probably been through hardships and struggle with finding ourselves today, but yeah. I can't lie and say that none of it is accurate.
Do you have one Batman that you identify with more than the others? Like, do you have a favorite Batman?
Probably Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Just 'cause
I was that age that I was at the time that he was Batman. That was when I was probably in my biggest Batman bag.
All right, Jackson, which superhero do you deem your favorite?
Iron Man.
Here is your personality.
If your superhero is Iron Man, you're a very straightforward kind of guy. You like things done your own way. You can kind of be a control freak. For example, you're like a leader. You're not a follower. So if somebody is like, you know, working on a school project and they keep messing up, you're going to literally rip the paper from underneath them and do it yourself because you trust your judgment better than everyone else's. You're a very calculated person.
All right.
It's not terrible.
Yo, who is she? Why is she talking to us like this?
The thing is, though, I feel like she's just describing like their origin stories and like who they are. So it kind of makes sense that
That's
it lines
true.
Up, right?
Oh,
That's
don't fair. Be logical. Don't try to take control.
You're gonna take control.
Yeah.
Give me that paper.
Take control of this segment. All right, Tommy.
Yep.
Your favorite superhero is?
Ever since I was little, Superman.
And this is your personality.
If your favorite superhero is Superman, you're a traditional man. You like things done your way, and you're probably going to hit your kids.
Good thing Tommy doesn't have kids.
Nah, hit the bell like you did for me, Tommy. Here we go.
Should I be concerned that every guy I've ever dated's favorite superhero was Superman? I don't know what that says about me.
Yeah. All right, so some of the ones that you guys have not said. By the way, Kaylee, you said Captain Underpants.
Come on.
That is a superhero.
Okay, she did not do a personality analysis.
Well, she sucks.
Of Captain Underpants.
She don't know. Good superhero.
Let me sum it up. Your life is S.
And you have an affinity for undergarments.
That's right.
All right, so if you're listening and you want to ask your man, or if you're a man listening, like what your favorite superhero. So a couple that we haven't hit yet. If your favorite superhero is Spider-Man, this is your personality.
If your favorite superhero is Spider-Man, you use humor to cope with a lot of things. You're very indecisive. You're a go-with-the-flow kind of guy, and you like to have fun. But you can be really hard on yourself. When you're alone in your bed, you start, like, tweaking about your life.
That sounds more like me.
You gotta change your fave.
All right, the next one that she breaks down is Thor.
If your favorite superhero is Thor, you're a work hard, play hard kind of guy. You procrastinate a whole bunch. I feel like you give me gym kind of vibes, but you kind of put away the important parts of your life and you party hard a little bit harder than you work.
I feel like that's Bert.
I can see that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. And then the last one that nobody chose here, but if your favorite superhero is Doctor Strange.
That's nobody. We don't have to.
You don't exist. What, like Ant-Man isn't on here? Deadpool?
No Ant-Man, no Deadpool. But she rounds it out with Doctor Strange. So Alyssa Yago says, this is who you are as a person if your favorite superhero is Doctor Strange.
If your favorite superhero is Doctor Strange, I feel like you're a very wise person. You're a very responsible person. But you hate yourself on the inside.
That's why nobody on the show likes Doctor Strange.
Exactly why.
I mean, all in all, after, because, you know, Abby found this, sent it, and we cut it up, and as you guys sent yours in, I was like, huh. I mean, she may not be, like, super right, but she ain't super wrong either.
That's a fact. She gets a little truth in there.
All right, it's the Bert Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bert Show fix at thebertshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bert Show.